Okay, good morning everybody and a good chaydesh. Today's daf is Avodah Zarah daf Samach Zayin. We are holding already on the top of Samach Zayin Amud Aleph. We are at the two dots, about five lines into the page of Samach Zayin Amud Aleph. Today's shiur is sponsored once again by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and Lila Nishmas' mother, Golda Bas Simcha Shalom, the Neshama Shav and Aliyah. We thank him very much for the continued sponsorship of the daf Yomi Shir. There's essentially one topic in today's daf, and that is No Saint Tam Lefgam, that the Mishnah had mentioned that when Isser falls into Heter and it gives Tam into the Heter, so if it gives positive Tam into the Heter, then that is going to make the entire Tarovas Aser. But if it negatively affects the taste of the Heter, then we're going to say No Saint Tam Lefgam is Mutter. So the Gemara is going to discuss what the various dinim are of a Tarovas when there is a Tam Pagum. When do you get Malkus? When do you not get Malkus for consumption of a Tam? We're also going to discuss whether there's anyone that disagrees with this basic principle that No Saint Tam Lefgam is Mutter. Is there anyone that actually holds No Saint Tam Lefgam is Aser? There is, and we're going to discuss what the source is for each of the opinions as to whether No Saint Tam Lefgam is Aser or Mutter. So let's begin. Again, we're holding on Samach Zayin Amud Aleph. We are at the two dots. Zeh HaKlal Kol Sha B'Nosu B'Nosu Saint Tam. So the Mishnah said that the Klal is that whenever something is B'Nosu B'Nosu Saint Tam, whenever there is a benefit from the Tam, then it's going to be Aser. When there's not B'Nosu of no same time, then it's going to be mutter. For example, if you have vinegar that falls on top of greasin, so we assume that that has a negative time, and therefore, even though the chometz, the vinegar that fell in, is iser, and you can detect its time in the greasin, but since the greasin tastes worse because of it, it's going to be mutter. Some of them are shmuel, hachi ilchasa, that we take a pasuk in this way, that no sin tam lufgam is mutter, exactly like it says in the Mishnah. Now, it says it in the Mishnah, so what do I need Rabbi Yudam Rishmuel to say? And it's a stam Mishnah. Halacha is kistam Mishnah. So the Ritva points out, because we're going to have a sheet of Rabbi Meir that says that no sin tam lufgam is in fact aser, and he has a pretty strong raya, mistaver time to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir's raya is going to be from the fact that there's a parsha in the Torah of Giulei Nachum of Kasher and Kalin. If no Saint Tam Lufgam were really not a problem, why would I ever have to kasher a kli? Just wait 24 hours, it's no Saint Tam Lufgam, and use the kli to your heart's content. Why is there a parsha in the Torah about that? So that's a very, very strong maramakom. We have an answer to it, but it's pretty strong. So that's why, says the Ritva, Rabbi Dom Shmuel say, no, we still paskin like the Stam Mishnah, even though the Stam Mishnah is against the sheet of Rabbi Meir. So now the Gemara goes into some of the details of vinegar that falls into, wine vinegar, that's Yayin Nesach, that falls into greasin, where it will not prohibit it because it is no sin tam lufgam. V'yam Rabbi Dom Shmuel, lo shanu ela shenafel tol greasin rotchin. When do we say that the chometz gives a tam lufgam into the greasin? That's only if the greasin, it's not really the name of a bean. A gris is, it's not the name of any pre or anything like that. It just means that it's cut in a certain way, but usually it refers to a pul, which is a type of bean that's cut in that way. So we're assuming there's some sort of a bean dish that. So when it's very hot, that's when we assume that it's no sin tam lufgam. Aval, nafel to greasin sonanin, but if let's say the vinegar went into cold greasin, so then the greasin tastes better as a result of the vinegar that went in, and then vihir tichan, and then you cooked it on a fire, you heated them up, so now it's going to be nifkam because the chometz that gets mixed in with hot greasin gives it a bad taste. Nasa kemishish biachul sof pagam the aser, that we view as something that when it initially went in, it gave a tam l'shvach, and it only then subsequently became a tam l'fgam, and therefore it's going to be aser, because since on the initial taroves it was a tam l'shvach, that's the determinant at the initial taroves, so the fact that afterwards it became a tam lufgam does not help. It was already an iser, so it remains aser. Meaning, once you already have something that's a cheftza shel iser, that's a macholas asuros, in order for it to lose its shem iser, it needs to be not just a little bit of a tam lufgam, it would need to become something that's ain't a roi l'achila at all. It would need to be something that is completely inedible, and that is not what happens when you heat up the greasin after the chometz had fallen in. The lush of the Gemara is a little bit difficult over here because it says, what happens? It falls into Greece and Sonnenin, and then here, Tichon, it's Nasa Kimi Shesh Biachel B'Sof Pagam. Nasa Kimi sounds like, that's not exactly what happened, but it's similar to a case where it was Shesh Biachel B'Sof Pagam. That's exactly what this is, meaning it's not similar to, L'chore, this is Shesh Biachel B'Sof Pagam. So Tosos explains, Tosos is bothered by this, in Dibra Maskel Nasa, Kimi Shesh Biachel, he says, Tema, my nokat hai lishna, to vadei mashbiachu. What do you mean? It's vadei mashbiach initially. V'yeshlom l'fi shikra shevach l'avi adha achar shiartichu v'yitzaninu. So Tosos says, the reason it says is because the ikr shevach only comes after you heat it up, and then it cools down. Meaning, if vinegar falls into raw greasin, or greasin that have never been heated, let's say, that have never been cooked, it's true. It gives a shtickle tam l'shvach, but people don't eat it that way. People wait to cook it and then let it cool down, then they refrigerate it, and then they'll eat it. They're not going to eat it in that state. So therefore, it's not really fully enosin tam l'shvach on the initial falling of the chometz into the grease and sonnenin, because when it fell into the grease and sonnenin, it's still not something that people would eat. So therefore, it's nasa kimi shesh biachol b'sof pagam va'aser. V'chein ki aser Ravin amar Rabbi Bar Bar Chana amar Rabbi Yochanan. When Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael, he reported in the name of Rabbi Bar Chana amar Rabbi Yochanan that lo shanu, that this whole din of nosin tam l'fgam mutter lo shanu el shnafel to grisin rotchin is only if the chometz fell into hot grisin avol nafel to grisin sonin, but it fell into cold grisin v'ir tichon, and then you subsequently warmed it up, nasa kamish shbiach l'b'sof pagam v'yaser. Same idea, that it becomes as if something that was mashbiach at first and only then became pagum, and therefore it's aser. V'chein ki aser Rav Dimian, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he also reported in the name of Rabbi Yochanan the very same thing, and then he added to that, v'kacha yosin ba'arvei shabbosos b'tzipori, and this is what they would do in arvei shabbosos in tzipori, that they would put chometz into grisim tzonim, and they were mishtabach al yidei the chometz. It became better because of the chometz, because of this vinegar, v'koronosam shachalayim, and they would have a special name for that food that was designated specifically for Shabbos. They would call it shachalayim. So you see from there that the grisim apparently become better as a result of the chometz. So how come our Mishnah gives an example of nosin tam l'fgam when chometz goes into grisin? Must be that there's a difference between grisin sonnenim and grisin rotchin, that when it's sonnenim, ooh, that's a delicacy, not just stama food. That's the kind of food you want to put away for Shabbos. That's shachalayim. That's a special meichel that you put away for Shabbos that people enjoy. But if it goes into grisin rotchin, then it's nosin tam l'fgam, and then it's going to be aser. Now the Shulchan Aruch writes in Yardeya Simon Kuf Gimel that Bamed Varmamurim, when do we say nosin tam l'fgam is mutter? That's shepogim mitchilas avad sofo. That's only if it's pogim from the moment it falls in and it remains something that is pogim. Aval imishpiach l'besof pogim. However, if initially when the chometz falls in, or when the iser falls in, it's mashbiach, and only subsequently it's pogim, which so far so good, that's exactly what our Gemara spoke about. And then the Shulchan Aruch adds, oh, pogim l'b'sof hishbiach, or when it initially fell in, it was a tam l'fgam, and then subsequently it became a tam l'shvach, aser. In either case, it's going to be aser. The only time you have a heter of nosin tam l'fgam is if through and through it was a tam l'fgam. If at any point in the process it was mashpiach, it's going to be aser. Now, the case of pogim l'b'sof hishpiach, what exactly is that? So perhaps one would suggest, well, if when chometz falls into grisin tzonenim, it's a tam l'shvach, and to grisin rotchin, it's a tam l'fgam, so pogim l'b'sof hishpiach is probably where it falls into grisin rotchin, and then it cools down, right? So it was pogim initially, and then it's mashbiach. That's what the Taz writes, and somewhat predictable. However, there are those that hold that such a case where it's pogim mitchila, the tam of the chometz becomes so weak when it's pogim mitchila that it will not have the ability to aser after that. And the Shulchan Aruch must be talking about something else. That the Shach writes over there that pogim sof mashbiach is mutzabach. So the Achronim work on what the case might be. The Shachar of writes over there, when you have pogim sof mashpiach, it's mutar ba'achila while it's pogim. Meaning, let's say the Taz is right. Let's say that it falls into gris and rotchin, that's called pogim, but in the end, it's going to be mashpiach. So that's going to be called nosin tam lufka, that's going to be called nosin tam lushvach, and that's going to be aser, because it's not pogim mitchila viad sofo. Can I chop it and eat it while it's boiling hot? Meaning, if it doesn't, if I don't let it cool down, can I? Do I have to wait till there was some shavach, and only then it's going to be aser? But if I chop it right now, will it be mutter? Will it be considered nosin tam lufkam? So the shach writes that if it's pogum sof mashpiach, you can chop it while it's still pogum, even though it will be mashpiach lachar zman. Just by letting it cool down, it will become l'shvach. But you can chop it while it's still pogum. The Pri Chadosh disagrees with that. He says meyachitesi. Meaning the halach and shulchan aruch is that if this is the type of tarovas that is mashpiach at any point, then it's we don't apply the principle of nosin tam lufkam. If you don't apply the principle of nosin tam lufkam, then you can't have it. So that's the machlokas achronim. Now it's interesting. The Gemara's raya that it must be that when it falls into tzonim that it's mashpiach is the fact that that's exactly what people would eat for Shabbos. You get the impression from the Gemara that there were special machal for Shabbos, like Rav Zilberstein's psak from a month ago, that you're only allowed to eat chalent on Shabbos. So where did that come from? There is an idea that there should be some food, it doesn't have to be chalent, it could be whatever food, there should be some food that you dafka designate for Suda Shabbos, that a person eats specifically on Shabbos. Maybe leftovers is different, but that you dafka have, that you make it fresh specifically for Shabbos. In the Shulchan HaTohar, he writes that a person should be mahader to prepare a machal miyuchal the Shabbos, and he says, and that's why we have kugel, that no one eats kugel any other time. It's only a Shabbos food. You don't get kugel at weddings, right? You don't go to a wedding. You never get a piece of lakshan kugel at a wedding, right? So why not? It's delicious. No, because that's for Shabbos. Kugel is for Shabbos. And he quotes the Zer Zav on Rashi on the pasuk of Amim Har Yikra'u, that the merchants of the Umos Holam come to Yerushalayim and they see Klal Yisrael serving a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and they eat, they're serving one God, and they're eating one type of food. What do you mean, Michael? They're eating one type of food. He says it means a Michael, a miyuchal the Shabbos. That part of the service of God is that we have a specific machal for Shabbos. There is a fascinating discussion in Poskim as to why it is that we don't make a bracha on the mitzvah of Suda Shabbos. You have a mitzvah midoraisa to eat Sudas on Shabbos. So in the Pesach Hadvir, he writes based on what the Abu Dram writes as to why we don't say a bracha on Dalit Kosos. He says you can't say a bracha on a mitzvah that has such a hemshech over such a long period of time. It has to be a mitzvah that's done bebas achas without any hefsik. But arba kosos, is a very slow over a long period of a nighttime where you're doing a lot of other things in between, so you don't say a bracha on that. So he says, same is true when it comes to Suda Shabbos, because all three su'udos combine to create the chiyuv of Suda Shabbos, so it happens over a hemshech of a long period of time. Stechemet says, that's not really true, because each Suda of Shabbos is a mitzvah. L'chor, you can make a bracha on each one. The din of Dalit Kosos is true. Each coast serves a function as a kosher bracha on a different part of the Seder. So in that respect, it's part of another. It's part of Hallel. It's part of Kiddush. It's part of Sipur Yitzchus Mizrach. Right? It's part of Birchas Hamazon. It's part of the different parts. That was not in order just now, but it's part of the different parts of the Seder. But as a mitzvah, it's Dalit Kosos. Right? When you have three, then you didn't do the mitzvah of Dalit Kosos. Whereas by Suda Shabbos, you don't say that if someone didn't eat Shalosh Shudos that they weren't Mekayim the Suda Rishon or Suda Shnia either. They are Mekayim the other Sudas. They're not necessarily all bound up together. So there are other suggestions as to why we don't say a bracha. Some of the Acharim suggest you only say a bracha on a mitzvah. It's obvious that you're doing it as a mitzvah. But who's going to read your mind to know whether you're doing it as a mitzvah just because you enjoy eating a lot of good food? So if a person does the l'shem mitzvah, so then if he doesn't do the l'shem mitzvah, so it could be that it's just stamina achila gasa. So that's why. Maybe there's no bracha. Okay, a lot of other good reasons. Amr Reish Lakish. Nosin Tam Lufgam Sha'amr. Reish Lakish says, when we say Nosin Tam Lufgam is not going to prohibit the food, Lo Sheyomru Kederezu Chaseira Melech Yaseira Melech Chaseira Tavlin Yaseira Tavlin. It's not a situation where a person can fix the food and make it taste good by adding a little bit more spices, that if there would be a little more salt or a little more spice, then the Isser would not have been pogame the food. It actually would would have been mashpiach the food. It's just the food, as it was right now, became pogum, as a, let's say, the grease and then the vinegar. As it is right now, the grease and became pogum from the vinegar that went into it. But maybe if you would add a little bit of spicing, then actually the vinegar would have been mashpiach the food. So that would not fall under the heter of nosin tam of gam. El kol shein chaser klum vein nachelas mipnei ze. It has to, nosin, the heter of nosin tam of gam is that you have whatever spicing the food needs, and because of that, and even so, it was still nosin tam of gam. Only then do you have the heter of nosin tam of gam. Meaning, when an iser fell into heter, and yeah, the way the heter is right now, it became more pogum because of the Yisr, but had the Heter been better prepared, it would have been Mashpiach because of the Yisr. That's Usr. That's not going to have the Heter of Nosin Tam of Gam. The only time you have the Heter of Nosin Tam of Gam is that the food was perfect, and still this Yisr made it worse. Now it's interesting, the Lashon is, Elakol Shein Chaser Klum, Ve'enon Echelas Mipneze. Enon Echelas makes it sound like it's something that is totally inedible. That is clearly, Rashi points out, Lav Dafka. Nosin Tam of Gam doesn't even have to mean that the food is inedible. It means that the food is worse off than it was before, but it could still be edible. The Ramban writes that the Raya is, from the Gemara is going to say that any Kedera, the Gemara is going to bring as a Raya to Nosin Tam of Gam being mutter, being usher rather, that every kedera that's more than, that hasn't been used in 24 hours, is nosin tam lefgam into the meichel, and you see that you have to kasher it, right? So apparently that's called nosin tam lefgam, when you use a kedera, a clean pot that hadn't been used in 24 hours. You know when you do that? Every single day, pretty much, in your kitchen. Whenever anything is cooked in your kitchen, you're pretty much always, if you alternate nights between milchings and flay, right, you're pretty much always using a pot that hasn't been used in 24 hours. So what, you can never eat dinner? It's always disgusting? No. No, it doesn't mean that it's einan echelas. It means that it's worse off than had it been entirely in a fresh pot. Okay, so it says the Gemara, v'ikad amri, there's another version of what Reish Lakish said. That Amar Reish Lakish, not that Reish Lakish is coming to be machmir, that it's considered tam l'shvach, if only the food were better prepared. That no, nosin tam l'fgam shamru, ein omrim, kedera zu chasera melech, yisera melech, chasera tavlin, yisera tavlin. And we say, oh, only because it's poorly spiced, that's why it's a tam pogum. But had it been properly spiced, we would have been able to make it better, and therefore it's not considered nosin tam lefgam. We don't say that. Ella hashtamia pogum. We say, look, if bottom line is right now it's pogum, it's pogum. So it's irrelevant whether it could be better spiced. So Reish Lakish is really saying a chumra that nosin tam lefgam always applies as long as it gave a tam pogum. I don't care that you could have prepared this dish differently, where the food would have, where the iser would have given a tam l'shvach. Bottom line is, it didn't, and we pass on like this second lashon. And the shach brings a raya from here in Yardayan, some kuf dalid, that if an iser is poge mamaychel, even though you could be misakin it, it's mutter now until you're until it's mesukan. Because over here also, you could be misakin the pegima with melech or tavlin, right? That's the whole point of the second version of Reish Lakish, that there's a way to make it better with tavlin, and nevertheless we say that it's nosin tam lefgam right now, and therefore it's nosin tam lefgam, it's going to be mutter. So that's what the shach says. Whenever an iser is pogame of food, I don't care that you could fix it and make it better. Right now it's pogame it, and therefore it's aser. Prichadash Rebbe says that yesh lechalik between the hashpacha, the way to make it better, is by doing something to improve it, like adding salt or adding tavlin. Then we say, okay, as long as it's pogum and it's mutter. But whereas if you were to just leave it over and it would automatically over time become mashpiach, then even eating it in its pogum state is going to be aser. That was the case of the beans, right? That you add the chametz that fell into the hot greasin, but you just wait till it cools down and it's going to be better. So maybe that's a different story. Okay, I'm Rabbi Yavo, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yavo says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, two different dinim about tarovus of iser beheter, when they're inseparable from one another. Kol shetamo uma masho. Let's say you have a chaticha of iser that gets mixed into a tavshil of heter. You have a chalent and a piece of nevela meat fell into the chalent with all the other meat and beans and potatoes and everything else that's in there. So aser, you could taste, and there's tam that it gives into the chalent. So the whole thing becomes aser v'lokin alav, and you get malchus if you eat it. However, v'zehu kazayis b'chtei achilus pras. You're only going to get malchus if you consume a kazayis of the iser b'kedei achilas pras in the amount of time that it takes to eat a pras of food. How much is a kazayis? How much is a pras? So first of all, in general, kazayis is always the shir achila in the Torah, unless the Torah tells us otherwise. Like by Yom HaKippurim, it's not a kazayis, it's kosev sagasa, but generally speaking, kazayis is always the shir of achila, both by isurei achila, as well as by mitzvos of achila. There is a machlokas rishonim, how big a kazayis is. Shulchan Aruch quotes the shita of Tosos that it's a chatzi beitza. However, the Mishnah Berurah quotes the sheet of the Rambam that it's a shlish beitza, is the shear of a kazayis. How big is a pras? Pras means a half of a loaf of bread. So as far as the size of a loaf of bread, there's machlokas tanoim maseches erivin, whether it's six beitzim and therefore a pras is shalosh beitzim, or it's shmona beitzim and therefore a pras is arba beitzim, it's four beitzim. So it's machlokas rishonim had a paskin. The Rambam paskins that it's three beitzim, whereas Rashi paskins that it's four beitzim. So in Shulchan Aruch, all of this is quoted, the whole machlokas is quoted, and the Mishnah Berurah says, okay, so how do I paskin now? So Mishnah Berurah says, we're machmir on daraisas, we're mekil on drabanans. So how long exactly is a shear of kedei achilas pras? So that's a further machlokas of achronim. Chassam Sofer says, somewhere between 2 and 9 minutes. Whoa, that's a big range, right? But it's, whatever it is, probably about 5 minutes or so. But Chassam Sofer thinks on the lechumra, you can go up until 9 minutes. So if a person has to eat for whatever on Yom Kippur, so you should try to do 9 minutes. So based on all these shiurim, on all the lishonos, so what's the ratio of iser to heter in the tarovas for which a person is going to get malchus? So it depends. If you hold that a kazayis is a chatzi beitza and that a pras is three beitzim, so it's a 6-to-1 ratio, right? Because a 3 to a half is a 6-to-1 ratio. But if you hold that a kazayis is a shlish beitza and a pras is 4 beitzim, so then it's a 12-to-1 ratio. So depending on what mixture of shir beitza and shir kazayis you have, the ratio of kazayis b'chdei achilas pras is going to be severely altered based on that. Now again, the shir is not only for achilas iser, it's for achilas mitzvah as well. So when you're doing the mitzvah of matzah, you need to eat a kazayis of matzah b'chdei achilas pras. You got to figure out what a kazayis is and what a shir pras is, and matzah is a mitzvah d'oraisa. So the chora, according to, you have to be machmir that the shear achilas pras is the shear that you would eat 3 beitzim, not the shear that it would take to eat 4 beitzim. There's a further machlokas whether kazayis b'chdei achilas pras means kedei achilas pras of that food that you're eating, or kedei achilas pras pas lechem chitim, the amount of time that it would take to eat challah in that amount of time, whatever, bread in that amount of time. Big nafkamina for matzah. It takes a lot longer to eat a pras of matzah than it does to eat a pras of lechem. So in Bir Lechem, Mishnah Berurah paskins lechumra, that we treat it like pas lechem, that the shear of kedei achilas pras is a kavua time. It doesn't adjust based on the food that you're eating. That it's the amount of time that it takes to eat a pras of pas chitim. Whereas the Minchas Chinuch holds that the shear kedei achilas pras is based on the meichel that you're eating. So if you eat your matzah really, really slowly, you're still okay. Because even if you go totally lechumra, that it's a 6-to-1 ratio, you have the whatever your shear kazayis is, you have the amount of time to eat it that it would take to eat a normal person to eat, eating normally 6 times that amount. So you could really, really eat slowly. Whereas according to the Mishnah Berurah, you'd have to eat a little more quickly. Rav Shechter passes like the Minchas Chinuch on that for some reason, not like the Mishnah Berurah on that machlokas. Anyway, so kol tamu mamasho. So when you have an iser that fell into heter, the iser's still there. It's in the food and it's all mixed in. You can't pull it out. It's not something that you're able to pull out of the food. So kazayis b'chdei achilas pras is what you're going to get malchus for. Tam of loma masho, but let's say you have tam of the iser, but not the mamashus of the iser. It's totally absorbed. It's totally lost in the food. There's no mamashus of it left. The way Rashi seems to understand over here is that we're talking about challah falls into a kedera of basar, and that's called tamo veloma masho. First of all, the whole idea that this relates to challah and basar, basar v'challah, as opposed to just tarovis, is its own chiddush. So let's say the other example he gives, you have chelev that's nimoach into a tavshil. So you have a tavshil and chelev just melts in. So that's called tamo veloma masho. That's a little bit of a chiddush. The tamo veloma masho pashtus is that a big chunk of nevela falls into your chalent, it cooks there for a while, and you spot it and you pull it out. So now what's left in the chalent was the tam of that nevela, but you don't have the mamashus of that nevela. The chiddush over here is that even if the whatever fell in is still in there, it's just totally melted and totally absorbed and totally mixed in, it's totally blended in. That's called tam of lo mamasho. The difficulty with that is, then what's kazayis b'chdei achilus pras that we just spoke about? What was tamau mamasho where you eat a kazayis b'chdei achilus pras? That's also where it's totally blended in. So the Chavos Das says, now the difference is it a liquid in a liquid or a liquid in a solid? Meaning if it's a liquid in a liquid, so then that's tamo uma masho. That's the previous case that we spoke about where kazayis b'chdei achilus pras is going to earn you malchus. But if it's a liquid that becomes completely dissolved and absorbed into a solid food, that's called tamo v'lo mamasho. Again, none of that is the classic case of tamo v'lo mamasho. Classic case of tamo v'lo mamasho is exactly what it sounds like. Piece of nevela fell in and you pulled that piece of nevela out. Problem is, it cooked in there for a while, so the tam is still in there. So anyway, tam of loma masho aser ve'in lokan alav, and you don't get malchus for tam of loma masho even if you eat a kazayis of the aser betoch kedei achilas pras. Right, that's the pashto. So you don't get malchus even if there is kazayis b'chdei, even if it's a less than 6-1 ratio or 12-1 ratio or 8-1 ratio or 9-1, depending on how you do the math. V'imriba tam lefgam, and if you added if the heter gave into the heter a tam lefgam, then mutter, then the whole thing is going to be mutter b'achila. Then it's not even going to be aser to eat, let alone nisr of malchus. So the Gemara explains what Rabbi Yochanan is talking about at the end over there. V'lema im nasan tam lefgam mutter. Why does it say im riba tam lefgam? Just say that if it's nasan tam lefgam, it's going to be mutter. So akamashmul. Now he's telling me the following chiddush. Even though there are other things like salt and spices that may be too much or too little that also cause it to be pogum, since lemaisa the iser also makes it worse, it contributes in a negative way, it's not going to prohibit the tarovis. And by the way, we paskin like the lishna basra of Reish Lakish, that an isser that's poge mamaychel, even betziruf, the fact that it's not spiced properly, and that had it been spiced properly, it would not have been poge mamaychel, but the isser is poge mamaychel, then it's going to be no sin tam lefgam, and it's going to be mutter. So Amar Rav Kana, midivrei kulam, from all of the Amoraim that we mentioned from the very beginning of the sugya, Rav Yudu said in the name of Shmuel that Allah is a nosin tam of gam is mutter, right? That was the first thing we learned today. That Rav Yudu says, oh yeah, we paskin like our Mishnah. And therefore, and then Rav Yudu said in the name of Shmuel that if chometz falls into grease and rotchim, it doesn't answer it, because that's nosin tam of gam. And Rabba Bar Bachanan and Rav Dimi, who said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, also about chometz that falls into grease and rotchim, that it does not answer it. And Reish Lakish that talks about a case where it's no sin tam of gam, but only because there's also a poor spicing of the food of the Meichel of Heter. And Rabbi Avos says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that Imri b'tam lefka mutter. You have all of these people that are saying no sin tam of gam mutter, so midivrei kulam nilmad no sin tam of gam mutter. From the fact that so many Amoraim seem to be on the same page over here, so we see that no sin tam of gam is in fact mutter. Amle Abaye Bishlam Mikul Lechi. Abaye says, I got how you see that from Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Bechana and Rav Dimi and Rabbi Avo, Eld Reish Lakish, but from Reish Lakish you can't prove that Nosin Tam of Gam is Mutter, because Amru Ka'amar, Velelo Sfirle, granted what he said suggests Nosin Tam of Gam is Mutter, but he didn't take credit for it. He said Amru, so it could be he's only quoting that from other people, but he actually doesn't hold Nosin Tam of Gam is Mutter. So Mechal Dikal Man Yom Nosin Tam of Gam Aser, the fact that we're making a big deal about how many people hold Nosin Tam of Gam Mutter implies that there's somebody that holds that nosin tam lefgam is aser. So says Marin, yeah, there is someone that holds that way. Va'atanya, we have a brisa that if Michael of Isser gets mixed into Michael of Heter, echa nosin tam lefgam, yecha nosin tam leshvach, Aser, Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir holds that even if it's nosin tam lefkam, it's aser. Rabbi Shimon omer l'shvach aser lefkam mutter. Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that only if it's nosin tam l'shvach, it's aser, but if it's nosin tam lefkam, it's mutter. So the Gemara explains, what is the basis for Rabbi Meir to say that nosin tam lefkam is in fact going to be aser? Binyan Shlomo says that it's mistaver that even Rashi, who paskins the tam ki ikr, is asum midrabanan, which is not how we paskin, is moda that this sugya is assuming that tam ki ikr is asum in a Torah. Because otherwise, the Gemara could have just said that the basis for Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon is very simply that Rabbi Meir holds that the rabbanan were gozer on nosin tam lefkam, and Rabbi Shimon holds that they were not that they were not gozer on nosin tam lefkam. Meaning the whole idea of tam is only a din to rabbanan. So then there's no where does he get it from? Where does he get it from? If the whole concept of tam kikr is only drabanan, the whole concept that tam can ruin something is only drabanan, so this one holds they were gozer, this one holds they were not gozer in this case. There wouldn't be what to discuss. So the premise of the sugya, says the Binyan Shlomo, is that tam kikr is daraisa. That tam has the capacity, when you have an iser tam that goes into heter, midaraisa it impacts the heter. So then the question is, okay, midaraisa it impacts the heter. Why, if it's lefkam, would you hold aser? Why, if it's lefkam, would you hold mutter? So my time is Rav Meir. Where does Rav Meir get the idea that nosin tam lefkam is aser? So gamar migul avdichavim, he derives it from the fact that the Torah requires us to kasher kelim, that we after the melchemes midyan we had to call asher yavo be'esh taviru be'esh. We were told about doing libun and hagala and all this kashering of kelim. So gilu avdichavim lav nosin tam lefkam hu, after 24 hours isn't it nosin tam lefkam in the dofnei akli, the whatever tam is absorbed in the kli becomes a tam pogum at some point, and va'asa rachmana, and nevertheless the Torah didn't say you could just use it after 24 hours. Torah says you need to kasher it. So therefore we see from there that all nosin tam lefkam is going to be aser, because by Guli of the Chavim, apparently nosin tam lefkam is aser. There is a discussion, what does that mean, that it becomes pagum? At what point does it become pagum in the Dofnei Akli? So there's a discussion we've shown him, is it overnight or is it 24 hours? Right? Nafkamina would be you cook a minute before Shkia, so by the next morning, breakfast time, are you allowed to use it, or do you need to wait? Or if it was used again, breakfast time, do you assume that it was Nosin Tam Lefkam, or it was Nosin Tam Leshvach, right? But there may be enough Kamina in the other direction also. What if you're in the polar regions, the Poskim discuss, where night can last 6 months? So do you wait 24 hours? Do you wait 6 months, where it goes overnight? It's a fascinating discussion about how to handle everything in the polar regions, where night, the last 6 months, what do you do about Shabbos? And there's a lot of fascinating stuff. Anyway, the Idach, Rabbi Shimon holds that Nosin Tam Lefkam is Mutter. What's he going to answer to this Raya of Giulei Midyan? That the Torah only asked her Keder Basioma, Delo Lefkam Hu, meaning Anachinami. They did, on a Darais level, they didn't need to kasher the clay Midyan. They could have just waited 24 hours, but they were hungry, so they wanted to. They wanted to use the kelim right now. So if you want to use the kelim right now, so then you need to do hagala, you need to do libun, you need to kasher the kelim. V'idach, and Rav Meir, who learns from Gilui of the Chadon that the Torah asers nosin tam lefkam, what's he going to do with Rabbi Shimon's answer? Kedere bas yoma iafshar delo pagma porta. He says even when it's within the first 24 hours, the tam becomes somewhat pagum, and therefore the fact that the Torah asers it, he holds even within 24 hours it's a tam pagum. Now we happen to not hold that way. We happen to hold that it only becomes a tam pagum after 24 hours, and nosim tam lefkam is going to be mutter. So that is the basis for the shita of Rabbi Meir. I guess we'll Bez Hashem tomorrow. We'll pick up with the shita of Rabbi Shimon. The basis for the shita of Rabbi Shimon. Everyone have a great day and a good l'chodesh.